الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin, and I'm also your instructor, your teacher. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding your faith that you practice. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin, and understand that I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rituals and rites of Islam. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you and any paper, pencil, pen, or any kind of way to take notes or recording to take your notes. By the way, those who have been coming to our weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners, our new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. And hopefully you will continue to come to class to learn about what Islam truly is and what it truly is not. Today we want to look at or talk about the Islamic personality, just so you understand what a Muslim is supposed to look like, the character of a Muslim is supposed to be like, and that's male or female, because there's no gender, like the males do this and the female does this. No, it's not like that. It's for men, women, children. This is how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. Now open your Quran to chapter 2, verse 208. Again, chapter 2, verse 208, which is Surah Al-Baqarah, or chapter named Baqarah, which is the cow or calf. It depends on who's translating it. And that's, again, that's chapter 2, verse 208. And what it says, Allah says, "O you who believe, enter into Islam perfectly," meaning completely. We can't just have one foot in Islam and the other foot someplace else, wherever that may be. You have to come into Islam completely, with complete commitment to Islam. So we don't really call Islam a religion. We really call it more so a way of life. Because religion, a person may do on a particular day, and then they do a lot of other things the other days, the other 6 days or whatever, and then on that particular day, they take care or do their religious responsibilities. But for us as Muslims, no, this faith of ours is a way of life. You name an aspect of life, Islam covers it, or Islam is underneath the umbrella of Islam. It has to do it according to Islam, not according to our feeling or what we think or what our friends think or be welcomed by our friends or accepted by our friends, because we're going to do what they're doing, any wrong that they're doing, we're going to do the same thing because we want to be accepted by our friends. And what our friends are doing goes against Islam, we're not going to do it. We're not going to join in with them. And if we do something like that or make that mistake, then we go to Allah and ask Allah's forgiveness and seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask Allah ta'ala to make us stronger so we won't commit that same thing again. Let me go to the next thing. We're talking about the personality of Islam and characteristic of Islam. And these are very important. It distinguishes an Islamic personality, distinguishes us from all other personalities. And so I want to mention something else that the Prophet, may peace and blessing upon him, said. He said, in terms of purity and sincerity and intention. And he says, Allah's messenger, may peace and blessing be upon him, he said, "Action are but by intentions, and there is for every person only that which he intended. So he who migrates was for Allah and his messenger, then his migration was for Allah and his messenger. And he who migrates was to attain some worldly goal, or to take a woman in marriage, then his migration was for that which he migrated." If I'm going to someplace doing something because I want to worship Allah, I want to please Allah and follow the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, then okay, then I'm going to do that for that reason. I'm coming in for that reason. My pure 100% reason and sincerity for doing the thing is for the pleasure of Allah. But I'm doing it because I want some woman, I want some money, I want some kind of other material thing, a car, a house, or whatever it may be, is that if I'm doing it for that reason, then I'm going to get the reward or for doing it for that reason. Wherever I'm getting it, doing it for, if I'm doing it for Allah and doing it for the Prophet, I get a lot of rewards, a lot of barakah, a lot of blessings from Allah. But I'm doing it for a woman, then I'm only going to get whatever blessings within getting it for that woman. Or doing it because I want a car or a house or some land or some money or some job or something, then okay, then I get whatever blessings within that for that particular thing that I migrated for. I left from one place to go to another place, but my intention was not to go from one place to another place to show that I love Allah, seek the pleasure of Allah, I seek the pleasure of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. No, I went from one country to another country, or from one town to another town, clearly only for this reason or that reason, and it was not for the sake of Allah or to follow his Prophet. And so there are intentions. We can't say we went there for Allah, but we really went there for a woman. We went there for some money, but we went there for Allah, but we really went there for some money. We went there for Allah and really went there for a woman. We went there for Allah, but we really went there for a car or for a job or for a house or for land. That's why we went there. But we can't say we went there for Allah. We really, truly went there for those other things. And so I don't have to dwell too much more on that. And so we have to make sure that our intentions are pure and that our intentions are authentic. And our intentions, then we're sincere in our intention. We say we're going to do something for Allah, then do it for Allah, or don't say it. Don't say it's for Allah, it's not for Allah. And we also have to be gentle and show some kind of kindness and gentle as far as Muslims are concerned. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, indeed Allah is gentle and loves gentleness and gives due to gentleness that which he does not give due to harshness. He does not like harshness or being hard all the time and tough all the time. No, kindness and gentleness is something that Allah loves. And he loves those who are gentle and kind and compassionate towards other people. Also, we have to show responsibility as Muslims. This is what we're supposed to. You're looking at the characteristic of a Muslim. And so I'm not saying that all Muslims are doing this. I'm not saying I do them all. But the thing is that this is the character of a Muslim. If you decide to enter in Islam, this should be your character, or the character that you're striving for. One is going to be sincere and show purity in what you do, and kindness and gentleness. This is what Islam is all about. And it does not mean that you are weak. Particularly men, if I say to a man, oh man, you're going to be kind and gentle and kind and merciful, that kind of thing, does not make you weak. It makes you even more of a man because you're able to be hard when you need to be hard and be firm when you need to be firm, but also when it's time to be gentle and compassionate and merciful, then that shows too. That side you show without any hesitation. And again, the Prophet said, indeed Allah is gentle and loves gentleness and gives due to gentleness that which he does not give due to harshness. And also the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, each one of you is a guardian and is responsible for those whom he is in charge of. So the ruler is a guardian and is responsible for his subjects. The man is a guardian of his family and is responsible for those under his care. And a woman is a guardian of her husband's home and is responsible for those under her care. A servant is a guardian of his master's wealth and is responsible for that which he is entrusted with. And a man is a guardian of his father's wealth and is responsible for what is under his care. So each one of you is a guardian and is responsible for what he is entrusted with. And so we see here a Muslim has to be responsible. A ruler has to be responsible for his subjects. A man has to be responsible for his family and those underneath them. A woman responsible for the man's house, the husband's household, and those underneath her. A servant responsible for the master's wealth. And that all those things that I mentioned, and you are already, I don't have to repeat the same thing over, but a Muslim is a responsible individual and not an irresponsible individual. So those of you that are irresponsible or act in an irresponsible way, then you need to reflect upon yourself and make that change. It's not too late. You have breath in your body. You still have time to make that change and be a responsible individual. If you're a man and you have a wife and you have children, then you're responsible for them. A young man, whenever I do the nikah, or whenever I do a marriage, and then I remind the young men are getting married that a marriage matures a young man. It's supposed to be immature the young man. So because when he is by himself, he only responsible for himself. But when he has a wife, he responsible for himself and his wife. And when they have children, he responsible for himself, his wife, and his children, who are his family. And as the hadith just says, the saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, just said, is that he is a guardian, the man's a guardian over his family, responsible for his family, responsible for taking care of his family. That's what a man is supposed to do. And men out there, listen to me, and you're a Muslim man, and not even a non-Muslim man, you had a responsibility to take care of your family. And if you're not married and you're divorced from a wife or something like that, then you have children, you have responsibility to those children and take care of the children to the best of your ability. Giving a few dollars, okay, that's better than giving none at all. But always work towards giving them more, because they are your responsibility. And the man is responsible for his wife and his children, providing them the home, clothing, food, provide an education, those kind of things the man is responsible for. Not so much the woman is responsible for that thing. She can help out if she wants to, but the main responsibility that I'm mentioning right now is the man. He is responsible for the home. And a Muslim man, you have to be responsible for those that are underneath your care. That is your responsibility. And you, if you don't do it now, you're going to answer for it later. It's going to be a time where you're going to be standing in line thinking that all is well, everything is good, you're getting ready to go to paradise, and then you see your family and other people on the side in line, and you wonder why these people are in line. Those people are in line to take from your good deeds. If you have a mountain of high deeds, a mountain high of good deeds, then they start taking from your good deeds until they're satisfied. Whatever wrong you've done to them, until they're satisfied. Even when you run out of good deeds, okay, it's not over yet. Because any bad deeds that they have, in order for you to satisfy you what you owe them, you would take on their bad deeds. And the next bad deeds, the next bad deeds, the next one's bad deeds, until you now have a mountain high of bad deeds. And at that point, you think you're on your way to paradise? No, you go in the opposite direction on your way to the hellfire, because you didn't take care of your responsibility now. This is the time to take care of your responsibility and not later on, because later on may be too late. And don't quit putting it off. Also, the Muslim does not harbor envy. Because the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings upon him, he said, there is to be no envy except with regard to two. A man whom Allah has given wealth, which he spreads it or strives to spread to spend it righteously. And a man whom Allah has given wisdom, meaning the Quran and other educational wisdom, and he acts according to it and teaches it to others. So you want to be envy of anyone? Be envy of a man who is wealthy and spends his money righteously to help other people, to feed other people. You want to be envy of anyone and try to be like somebody? Then is a person who learned Quran and then he practices it, he put into action it, and also teaches it to someone else. And so these are the people you want to be envious of. Anyone, be envious of these people. Not a person who's a football player, basketball player, or a rich person, that kind of thing. No, if they're spending their money, if they're rich and they spend the money righteously, well, okay, sure. You'd be sort of a little jealous of them because you want to have that money so that you can do the same thing. A person who's very learned, a very smart person, learned in the Quran, can recite so beautifully, also acts upon it and teaches it. This is a person you should be envious. I want to be like that person. You want to be like anyone? Want to talk about, and not someone that's famous in the paper all the time or on social media? No. The person you want to envy and be like is the one who is reciter of Quran, acts upon it, and teaches it. That's the person you want to be like in terms of doing what Quran says not to do and doing what Quran tells you to do. Let's move on to the next one. Also, a Muslim, we're talking about Islamic personality. A Muslim shows piety and self-restraint. So what do I mean by piety and self-restraint as far as a Muslim is concerned? The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, "That which is lawful is clear, and that which is forbidden is clear. And between them are doubtful matters about which many of the people do not have knowledge. So whoever avoids the doubtful matters saves his religion and his honor. And whoever falls into doubtful matters falls into what is forbidden. Just like a shepherd who grazes his sheep near a private pasture of another, and he will soon stray, or he will soon stray into it. Indeed, for every king there is a private preserve. Indeed, the preserve of Allah are those things which he has forbidden. And indeed, there is a piece of flesh in the body which if it is good, then the whole body is good. But if it is corrupt, then the whole body is corrupt. Indeed, it is the heart." I know what's kind of long, what I just mentioned. And the thing is, we have to be careful in terms of, we have to show piety and self-restraint. And don't go into areas like the shepherd. Don't graze your grass, graze your animals near someone else's property till later on they're going to start going over into that property, which is forbidden to do. To go, unless you have the person's permission, in order to allow your sheep or for you to use something of another person, you have to ask their permission in order to use it. Otherwise, you are going into a forbidden area. And so here we see that we can't do as Muslim or part of personality and not going into those areas that are forbidden to us. And also being careful too that about our heart, because that's the piece of flesh that Allah talked about. So the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, talked about. He said, "Indeed, there is a piece of flesh in the body which is, if it is good, then the whole body is good. But if it is corrupt, then the whole body is corrupt. Indeed, it is the heart." So we want to have a heart that is not corrupt. We want to have a heart that is a good heart. That's what we want. So our whole body will be good. But we have a corrupt heart and our intentions are corrupt, then our whole body becomes corrupt. All our actions are corrupt. Until we have so much corruption in us, that we don't can't even recognize when we don't even know what good is, because we have so much bad in us. We just keep doing bad and bad and bad, and to some people, bad becomes good and good becomes bad. And we don't want to be that individual where the bad becomes good and the good becomes bad. We want to pray to Allah, ask Allah to have us have a good heart, and that we be around people that have a good heart, and people that are going to remind you to do good deeds, and they also have the good heart. Those are the kind of people you need to be around. Those are the kind of people that are good for you in this life and the next life. So be careful who you take for friends. I think I said a couple weeks ago, might even been last week, about be careful who you take on as a friend. Because everyone that says they're your friend, they may not be your friend. They may say it with words, but your actions does not show that they're your friend. And in Islam, we're supposed to show who we truly are and show a good Islamic character and be around people that have good Islamic character so that they can also help you to reinforce your Islamic character, and that it also will be a good Islamic character. It also mentions, and along those same lines, a believer is a mirror for his brother. What does it mean? What do I mean by that? The Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings upon him, he said, "The believer is a mirror for the believer. and the believer is a brother of the believer. He safeguards his property for him and defends him from behind. So we protect each, as Muslims, we protect each other and take care of each other and defend each other. In the army or in the military, and also sometimes with the police and others, they say, they watch my six, meaning watch my back. Take care, make sure I'm not going to be harmed, because when you look at a clock and you stand in the middle of a clock and you face forward, it's 12. To your right, you have 3, and to your left, you have 9, and behind you, you have the number 6 if you're standing on top of a clock. And so they say, watch my 6, and it says here what? It says that we as Muslims, that we are guarding or watching our brother's back. And that's what we're supposed to do. When you come into Islam, then I'm supposed to watch your back, and you're supposed to watch my back. That is Islamic way. That's the correct way to be. Also, seeking knowledge for knowledge's sake. Listen to this. This is very important. Allah's Messenger, may peace and blessings be upon him, said, do not acquire knowledge in order to compete with the scholars, nor to argue with the ignorant, nor to gain mastery over the gatherings. Since whoever does this, then the fire. So whoever does that or does what I just mentioned, they will be El Nur in the fire. Feel Nur. They will be in the fire. If you're a person at gathering knowledge so you can compete with the scholars, gathering knowledge, you can argue with people. Gathering knowledge so you could be like, look, I'm the main man over the people, over the crowd, while the people are listening to you. You're just showing off for the people. Showing off or trying to compete with the scholars. Or trying to argue with people all the time because you want people to see you. You're not doing it for knowledge, for the gain of knowledge to improve yourself. You're doing it for negative reasons. And so this is not the way of Islam. This is not the way of the Muslim. This is not having a good Islamic personality. And so this is another thing. If you decide to embrace Islam, you also need to be aware of this and not gaining knowledge so you go around beating up on other Muslims or beating up on non-Muslims with the knowledge that you have. Because like you have the knowledge, Allah could take the knowledge away from you. It's very easy for Allah to do. Also, we have to remember Allah. This is another characteristic of a Muslim. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, he said, supplication is worship. Your Lord, the mighty and majestic, said, call upon me, I will respond to your invocation. And so we are to remember Allah, and we are to call on Allah. Allah said, you want help? Seek help from him. Ask of Allah. We have to raise our hands up and ask of Allah for what we need, what we want, and what we desire. And Allah may fulfill those desires for us, that need for us, that want for us. We just have to go to him and ask. This is what a Muslim is all about. He relies on Allah, because if we don't go to Allah and seek forgiveness from Allah, and seek mercy from Allah, and seek from Allah, Allah may get rid of us and make a people that will. Allah is there. He's ready to help us, to work on our behalf, to protect us, to grant us what we need, what we want, and what we desire. Allah is there for us. All we got to do is ask of him and to believe in Allah. Also, I want to mention another thing, that a Muslim does not pry into the matters that does not concern him. This is so important. Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings upon him, he said, from the perfection of a person's Islam is that he leaves alone that which does not concern him. Also known as mind your business. It doesn't concern you. Why are you all in it? It has nothing to do with you. You can make up reasons to be up in it, but you know you're just making up reasons to be up in it, but it has nothing to do with you. And matter of fact, in Islam, it basically says, speak the truth or be quiet. It's best for a person to be quiet. When the Prophet ﷺ, when he talked, he only used just a little bit of words. You could almost count his words. But his words were maybe few, but they were so powerful. They were enormous. They were just a few words. But they were like a knoll, like a small little mound of dirt. But they were so powerful. They were powerful and big as a mountain. The thing that this man said to the people, and the guidance he provided for the people, and the love he had for Allah and for his people, for his followers, as all the prophets had for their followers, the one before Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessed be upon them all. And so we have to make sure that we mind our business. If it has nothing to do with you, then mind your business and be careful, because you could be backbiting the person. Or you could be slandering the person because you're all up in a space that does not have your name on it. It had nothing to do with you, but you're all up in that space. And also, all our actions are for Allah. So we have to be aware of this, those who are Muslim and those who may one day embrace Islam. A messenger of Allah, may peace and blessed upon him, he said, whoever loves for Allah and hates for Allah, gives for Allah and withholds for Allah, then he has complete iman, complete faith. That he hates things that Allah hates. That he loves things that Allah loves. He holds back those things that Allah wants to hold back, and he gives those things that Allah wants us to give. These are the people, this person has complete iman. Because he's doing these actions for Allah, for the love of Allah. This is part of our Islam. This is what Islam is all about. Doing things to please Allah, not anyone else. You do things to please Allah, and you watch how strong you get, that you be kawi. You be strong and not die weak. Because you're doing things for the love of Allah. Because if you do things for this man, then you're going to do something up for another man, do another thing for another woman, and then for another woman. You'll be all over the place. But if you do things for Allah, you're rightly guided. Because man, they're all over the place. They're all over the place. You're going to follow someone that may end up in the hellfire with you. It's like one saying of the Prophet, peace be upon him, he had mentioned about in the hellfire, people are in the hellfire, then all of a sudden they see their leaders in the hellfire, and they say, wait a minute now, then you tell us not to do such and such a thing? And then the leader said, well, yeah, I told you not to do it, yeah, but I end up doing it. I did those things I told you not to do, so of course this is why I'm in hellfire with you. And so we have to be careful who we follow. We follow this person, follow that person, follow this person. They may be all, they're misguided, like the blind following the blind. But Allah Ta'ala, he is not blind. The Prophet Muhammad, he was not blind. Follow them and follow their way, and you will be so happy, and you will be so guided. Please, listen to what I'm saying. Read for yourself what I'm saying. I'm not just reading off the top, I'm saying it off the top of my head. This is from the books of Islam. And so I want to mention one more thing to you and remind you all of this thing, all the things that I mentioned to you, which I know what you know what they are, and doing things for the sake of Allah, and mirroring your brother, and remember Allah, and also be patient, and also be careful of what we do in terms of when we're getting knowledge, that we're getting knowledge for the sake of Allah, that we're not getting knowledge so we can beat up on our scholars, or beat up on the people, or have some look, I'm the master of this particular knowledge. We don't want to do that. You want to be envious of anyone? Be envious of the person who has wealth and they spend their wealth righteously, who has a knowledge of Quran and that they practice it, and also they teach it. And so those are the people we ought to be envious of. And so please, my students, I beg of you, to please, you want to have a good Islamic personality, then you have to do these things that I just mentioned to you, plus some. You have a character right now, you're not Muslim, you have a character that is all over the place, come into Islam. So you'll have true direction and a good character and have a heart. Hopefully you have a heart that is a good heart, that has goodness in it, and not have a bad heart. Because you have a good heart, as I mentioned earlier, then the whole body is good. You have a corrupt heart, then the whole body becomes corrupt. You want to know more information about what I'm talking about? then you can always go to whyislam.org. You can also go to American Open University and get some information from them and learn and study from them underneath them. Also the International Online University, and you can also study underneath them and get a degree from the last two that I mentioned to you, and get more information about this beautiful way of life called Islam. You have been listening to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I have been your host or your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.